Fatherhood of the Priest, Third Meditation, with Reverend Dr. José Granados.
The second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we, as our ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
And the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So I wanted to reflect a little bit on the fatherly figure who is St. Paul. So the question here is, we talk about the Last Supper, the Eucharist, how in the Eucharist Christ is instituting the priesthood, do this in memory of me. And then we can go to St. Paul to see how this fatherhood of Christ is inherited by the apostle in his mission, right? This is going to be our meditation. You can read all these texts, you can think of St. Paul, his life, as if it helps you in prayer. He's the apostle, maybe his conversion, he comes to faith, you know, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 9, when he finds Jesus in the church, you know, this is Jesus to whom you are persecuting, because in this moment he understands that the church is the body of Christ. If you persecute the Christians, you persecute Christ. And then he receives this mission to the Gentiles to bring the gospel to, and this great apostle, how he was, he understood his priesthood, and the power of the priesthood as a father. Now you can follow, especially after chapter 13 of the Acts of the Apostles, is the life of Paul, his mission, and is the different ages of the apostolate. So a father has different ages. No? We are priests here in different moments of our life, no? Younger and older. But these are different ways of exercising our fatherhood. No? And we need to learn at each moment of our life, there is a way of being a father. And I think that St. Paul can teach us this very well, no? At the beginning, his trips, no? his trips of mission, strengthening the communities. Then when he finds the difficulty of the mission, no? The second, maybe at the beginning everything is easy, then he finds that the Lord doesn't allow him to go. Divisions in the community, his struggle, right, to join the community, his suffering. Then again, when he's in chains, no, chapter 20 of the Acts of the Apostles, he says goodbye to the elders of in Ephesus, and he is going in chains to Jerusalem and then to Rome, and then his time also when he is in prison. And if you go to Rome, it was where the last time I went, and I didn't know this place. It was the place where St. John was in prison. It's in the center, more or less. So there is the church. And probably he wrote, it's a possible place of his stage in Rome when he was in prison, and it seems that it's proved, more or less. And probably there he wrote his letters of the prison, for the Philippians, for example. So it's very, at the end of his life, he's a father in a different way, in chains, through my chains. So let's now, this text, first, how St. Paul understands his whole ministry, in a sense, as a Eucharist. This is the first point I wanted to talk about here, right? You have 2 Corinthians 5, 18, 20. 2 Corinthians is the letter of the apostolate. So if you want to know about what is to be an apostle, and where St. Paul speaks about his struggles, his success, his strengths as an apostle, is 2 Corinthians has a lot of places. No? So it's a good meditation for a priest in our mission as well to read 2 Corinthians, because up to chapter 12, when he speaks about his trials, no, and he has as and my strength is in my weakness as well. Remember at the end of the 2 Corinthians. So it's a beautiful also meditation. But it is this text, 2 Corinthians 5, in which the preaching of the is like the preaching of the apostle is not only a preaching of words, it's not only that he's talking, but when he preaches, the gospel happens. In St. Paul, it's like the sacramental, the preaching is like a sacrament. It's because he's celebrating the Eucharist and he's preaching and he sees the unity of these two actions. So when St. Paul speaks about the gospel, it's not only the doctrine. It's a doctrine that when you say it, it happens. Here it's very clear. When God was in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So when this ministry of reconciliation is that when the priest is St. Paul is preaching the gospel, then it's not only it has a sacramental nature, it's sacramental. Something is happening at this moment. It's not only words but action as well at the same time. Christ in us, Christ is telling you, be reconciled with God in the ministry of the priest. So and then in the first text you see here is how St. Paul is understanding his preaching as a liturgy. So how is the sacraments, especially St. Paul, will be the baptism and the Eucharist, extend to the whole of life. This is the novelty of the liturgy in the New Testament, right? Is that when we have the Eucharist is different from the rituals of the Old Testament because it's the liturgy of our own body. When we celebrate the Eucharist, it's the potential to extend to the whole life. In the Eucharist, Christ is not offering an animal. There is no lamb. There is no victims that represent our life. It is our very life that is at stake. This is, I said, no, it's Jesus saying, this is my body. And therefore, the Eucharist is not only a moment in our ministry, but it extends, our ministry is to extend the Eucharist to the whole of life. I think that's what St. Paul is conveying here. And this is why the Church and St. Paul will use this liturgical, when you read the New Testament, the liturgical terms, like sacrifice, like priest, like offering, are not used to describe the Eucharist. They are used to describe life, the preaching, the suffering, the charity. It's like St. Paul is giving these elements of ritual to a lot of activities, not because the Eucharist is not important, but because the Eucharist is giving life to all these things. So you see, for example, these texts, which are very Romans 15:16. You can read these texts because I think they're very rich. On some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, is the end of the letter to the Romans. Because of the grace given me by God to be a minister, minister here is liturgon, so it has to do with this is a word used in civic service, but also in cultic service. Of Christ, a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God. So the priest is in charge of the gospel, of preaching. So that the offering of the Gentiles, so here is an offering, it's offering your life, it's a victim. The offering of the Gentiles is the faith, is the sacrificial. So the priest is offering the Gentiles to God. I think that's important as well. We will go back to that. Now we are priests. In the offering, we allow people to offer their lives. This is important, that our priesthood has to do with the priesthood of the faithful. We represent Christ, so that they can offer their life to God. So they have the priesthood of life. This is, remember, Cardinal Vanois, this Jesuit who was made a cardinal at the end of his life, already passed away some years ago. He was a Belgian Jesuit, a biblical scholar. No, he He was an expert in the letter to the Hebrews, and he has a book on comparing the priesthood of the sacramental priest, the ordination, and the priesthood of the faithful. Very beautiful. And he says that we are priests, are at the service of the priesthood of the faithful, so that through our ministry, through our fatherhood, they can offer their life to God. That's a little bit they offer their life. You know this. Well, you have more taste on the same idea, no? Philippians, here Paul is suffering, and even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering, again, no? Drink offering, a libation offering, upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. So, the faith is sacrifice. Would you have here more text? No? 2 Timothy 4:6. This is at the end of his life. So you see different stages of life. He's giving his inheritance, like a father transmitting his inheritance to Timothy, who is going to receive that. And he says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, again, as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. So even the moment of death, the moment in which, or the moment of sickness, maybe when we have sickness, a priest who is sick, or is approaching death, is a moment of priesthood. You are offering up, you're being poured out as a drink offering. And this is always the idea that the priest is allowing others. So many times we have allowed others to die, to suffer as well with the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. So in a sense, we can live this in our own life in a fatherly way. Now, the second idea is that now Paul is going to portray himself as a father and as a mother. That's a little bit and here you have different texts of again how Paul appears as father and mother. Here is especially the most important text is 1 Thessalonians. So his first letter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And there, 1 Corinthians 4 and Galatians 4, these are the most important texts. These are really meditations on, I mean, we can really read these texts, like if you go to 1 Thessalonians, he said it's one of his first letters, but he has already this idea that he is like a father to the people that had been entrusted to him. Here you have the main passage. You know, we were gentle among you. Here is using like a nursing mother, tenderly caring for her own children. So the whole passage is important. Chapter 2. Let me read it, the whole thing. I read from. From verse 5, so 1 Thessalonians 2:5. Nor indeed did we ever appear with flattering speech, as you know, or with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek praise from human beings, either from you or from others, although we were able to impose our weight as apostles of Christ. So this generosity isn't caring about money, isn't caring about the prestige. Rather, we were gentle among you, as a nursing mother cares for her children. With such affection for you, we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our very selves as well. So dearly beloved had you become to us. You recall, brothers, our toil and drudgery, working night and day in order not to burden any of you. We proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. As you know, and here comes another image, we treated each one of you as a father treats his children, exhorting and encouraging you and insisting that you conduct yourselves as worthy of the God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Here, In this passage, I have written only the first, no? Like a nursing mother,
But here you have also the other image, like a father. You see, they go together, no? A priest, like St. Paul, is affectionate with them. Really, they are in his heart. It's the mother who is attached to them. And the idea that we are not called in our ministry, you know, that we really care for people. No, we have maybe this idea of that the priest needs to be like very cold or very separated from people. And maybe we have had also the crisis of the abuses, and we maybe a bit, no, have a bit of difficulty with, but we should remind that it's our heart that is at the stake here, and to take care with passion for people. No, we cannot do away with that. No, it's part of our identity, and so this is one danger, that because of the abuses we say, okay, I don't want problems, I stay away from. No, I mean, this, of course, there is a chaste way of dealing with this, the way of a mother, of a father, right? But St. Paul was full of love, of affection, with such affection. But then comes the father, and you see the difference. No, the father is the one who asks the Christians to grow. As a mother, I am close to you, I have affection, I am gentle. But as a father, what is he doing? That you conduct yourselves as worthy of the God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So in a sense, he's saying, I am a mother, I take care of you. As a father, I remind you of your high vocation, that you are called to something greater. Maybe you are living in sin, maybe you are living this, you are discouraged. Now, as a father, I want to promote you, to show you that it is possible, a life, he says, worthy of God. Well, that's a very impressive, right? Worthy of the God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. That's the father promotes the children through the gospel, and then these three verbs he uses is exhorting and encouraging and giving witness. It's like making you strong. Then you have 1 Corinthians. Okay, 1 Corinthians 4:14, you have here the main text. Though you have countless guides, pedagogues in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus. I generated you in Christ Jesus through the gospel. This is a very important text and very, very strong, right? So Paul is saying you have many tutors. You have the pedagogue. The word pedagogue for us is a high word, you know, someone who is a pedagogue, knows a lot of pedagogy. In the time of St. Paul, a pedagogue was a slave that was in charge of bringing the child to school, the boys to school, accompanying them. But he left them at the school, and then, so he was not an educator, really. It was only someone who brings the child to school. He's not educating, he's just making, maybe having some discipline on them so that they behave. And, you know, where St. Paul says that the law was like the tutor, the law, the ancient law, but now the gospel is for children, right? So you are not under the law. Here is the same image. No, you have many people who have corrected you, instructed you, but I am a father. I'm not just a tutor. No? So that's also, if we want to be fathers of the people who are entrusted to us, are we really generating them through the gospel? Are we really giving everything we have for them and having them in? So how much they touch who we are? No, it's something like we do because it's our job, and therefore we are like tutors more, or pedagogues in this sense. We are trying to make order in church, right? Just order. Or are we really, are they our children? No, that's what St. Paul is saying. No? And I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Here is, the gospel is what generates the children. So for St. Paul, it's very important, the preaching. His father through preaching. He's preaching but preaching is not only to transmit a knowledge, but is to transmit the event of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the preacher makes Christ present. That's why I said the sacraments are also there, because the sacraments is the event. So when we preach the gospel, there's a father, he makes the event again real. The event is happening. That's what he's saying here. Remember this sentence by Pope Benedict, that then was taken over by Francis as well, that Christianity is not a system of rules. Christianity is the encounter with a living person, with Jesus. Of course, in this living person, we receive a way of life. We are, it's calling us to a different way of life. And this is why there is a part which has doctrine and morals. But it starts, everything starts with the encounter with a living person who calls us to something great. This is why the gospel is joy. It's not just receiving a burden, right? I give you the burden of the gospel, and maybe it would be better not to have it. But it is the gift of receiving life. I think it's a test to meditate, that he calls himself Father, as we were saying. No, call no one Father, but here Paul says, I am your Father, right? Why? Because he says, in Christ Jesus. So, I became your Father, it's not by myself. In Christ Jesus, and through the gospel. The gospel is like the seed of the Father. So, in Christ Jesus, through the gospel. Another beautiful text is Galatians 4. And remind here, remember that. So for St. Paul, fatherhood is not only just, so it's not just baptizing people, it's not just administering the sacraments, because this can be also a danger, that we think that just by administering the sacraments we become fathers. I mean, the sacraments are the root, of course, and the Eucharist is the root. But the Eucharist is called to expand in the whole of our life. The real mystery of the Eucharist is that it changes the whole life. It changes a whole culture. Now, the Eucharist is the roots from which the whole tree of the church comes. So St. Paul says in the first letter to Corinthians, I have not baptized any one of you. Only one family that he baptized. But so for him, just to baptize is not to be a father. For him, fatherhood has to do with a bond. I baptize you and then I followed you in your steps. I share your burdens. I understood your path of faith, and I generated you into the greatness, a life worthy of God, of the call of God, right? So, this a little bit also this idea of the father like accompanying, like a bond between the father and the son and the children. And then you have Galatians, which is also a strong test of this fatherhood. Here is mother, right? But a mother who is in pain, right, is giving birth. It's my little children, again, no? Little children, this idea, technia, no? This is, again, we are in the register of affection of the mother, but it's a mother who is generating and is in pain, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Beautiful idea of the apostolate. You see, the Galatians were separating themselves from the gospel. They were going back to Judaism. So St. Paul is really in pains again. So like the father, he's not just a moment. You need to accompany the person. And sometimes the person goes astray and you need to start over and over again and generating him again. This is part of the pains of the father. No, you can say that to families as well. When a mother and a father, for example, they have him when they have the children are adolescents, everything changes. No, they have to generate them again. They have generated once and then they have to start again because children change. So this is part also, the father is generating the people in a whole path of life, different ages of life, different moments in suffering, in joy, in adulthood, in childhood. So it's really, it engages your life in allowing them to grow. So St. Paul has to deal with the Galatians who are, as I said, astray. Sometimes you say, especially to a mother, in the book of Genesis, it says that you will bear your children, give birth to your children with pain. Now today, this is not true, maybe, because you have anesthesia. And so the mothers can give birth without pain. Well, some pain is always there, right? But I think the truth of this text in Genesis is that the pain is not only in giving birth at the beginning, but it's the pain of education and the anxiety of the mothers. What will become of these children? This anxiety is part of the pain of giving birth, I think. So it's not only the birth, but also education is painful. And today, maybe the mothers are very, very anxious about the children. They speak of helicopter parents. Have you heard this expression? A helicopter.
helicopter parents, because these parents that are always, you know, maybe if, I don't know, 20 years ago they, or 30 years ago, the parents didn't care about the children, do whatever you want. Now they are always there. They need their schedules. They control where they are with the cell phone. They are, and it's, they are helicopter, no? They are always hovering around, no? Like this helicopter parents. No? So maybe it's a temptation for us to be also helicopter parents who are too much concerned about our parishioners, that we don't let them room to grow, right? And that can be also, today, my committee has a couple of schools in Madrid, and it's really, they are very, and the parents are very anxious. No? They come to the teacher to ask, how is my child doing? Sometimes they have do the exams to the children, maybe also in high school, no? And you see that the parents are, you know, doing the homework for the children, no? Well, because they want them to do well. So it's like this anxiety, right? So St. Paul is feeling the pains of childbirth again, and very beautiful, until Christ is formed in you, like to form the form of Christ. You see, it's not, St. Paul is not imposing the form on his people. It's not, the form is not something you impose. It's something that is there because of baptism, and it's Christ is being formed in you. So this is also a temptation, I think, of a father. We already mentioned that. And St. John of the Cross has very strong words against those spiritual directors who try to impose their own vision in the people they lead. They have an idea of prayer, and they want these people to pray as they think is good, and they don't pay attention to what God is asking. No? And so St. John of the Cross says, you are not doing well your job because you are imposing your own vision, and you are not letting the person talk to God and be formed by God. So I think here, clearly for St. Paul, is until Christ is formed in you, this is a passive form, is formed. And normally in the Bible, when you have a passive form in this way, God is the actor. God is the one who forms, the Father. So the Father is forming Christ in you. You don't say who is the actor, but it's not Paul, it's God. God is forming Christ in you. So Paul is, in a way, is a mother, is giving birth, but he is very conscious that it's God the one who forms. Well, you have more text here, if it is helpful, 2 Corinthians 12, which is also the generosity of Paul. No, you children, again, ought not to save up for their parents, but parents for the children. I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. This is a way also. So what St. Paul is saying, I have to give everything to you because it's, you are my fruit, you are my crown, you are my identity, you are the fruit of my life. Now this is very, I mean, it's the heart of Paul. Here you see the heart of Paul. We are very, very weak in comparison with that. No, it's very important. He says, I will most gladly spend everything, spend my things, spend what I have. And the Greek verb, dapaneso, is to spend, to give away. But then he uses another form of the same word, which is like even more. It's not only spent, but like giving everything, like going into ruin when he refers to himself. So I will most gladly spend my things and then be spent myself. But the verb here in the translation is not clear. It's not only to be spent, but to be utterly given for your souls. So it's the generosity of the apostle. So yeah, in Philemon verse 10, when St. Paul sends this slave, Onesimus, it says, I urge you on behalf of my child Onesimus, whose father I have become in my imprisonment. Philemon verse 10. Again, and here Philippians 2:22 is again, as a son with a father, he has served me with the gospel. Let me just add one thing. We have seen how Paul sees his apostolate as a liturgy, as a sacrament. So the Eucharist expands to the whole of his life. Then how Paul is a father and a mother both, but always in reference to Christ. So a third point I wanted to add is that, so what is our identity in the light of this test by Paul?
He is a father, a mother, right? What is the key of the life of St. Paul? No, I think that's very important for the priest, for us as priests. Who am I? We started with this question, who am I? And it's very important that this question, we cannot respond, and this is part of the gospel, we don't respond by looking at ourselves only. You know, we live in a time that is very individualist. And sometimes we have been raised as priests as well to be individualists, to my own mission, my own thing. I am myself, you know, I know who I am because I have this task, and I am, and we are forgetting, and in our time we need it more because we don't have a culture that supports the priest, to remind us that we are only in our relationships, that we exist always in relationships, that we are not ourselves alone, but we have received life from others. We live in relationship, in bonds, and we are called to live life to others. So this is what the life in the Bible is and in the gospel is all about. You know, we are not alone. And there is this painter, Marc Chagall. He's from Jewish origin, but he has painted the Song of Songs, so it's pretty well known. And he has self-portraits. When I was in Rome, living in Rome some years ago, I went to an exhibit of the self-portraits of Chagall. He has many in his life, you know? And many of them they are a bit original because you don't see normally a self-portrait is myself, right? You see the painter in different ages of his life, and you see his face. A portrait always tries to understand beyond the face who is the person, right? Who is this person? Because in the face you can see the person. But in Chagall, the self-portraits, he was not alone. He was there, his wife, some of the children also, and his home, his house behind. And I said, well, that's interesting. So in order to do a self-portrait, he couldn't portray himself alone. You needed others. I mean, without my wife, you cannot know who I am. Without my home, my place, you cannot know who I am. Without my family, without my children, because these are me, right? So it was like a way of looking at the whole of relationships that we have. You know? So I think that this is important to understand who we are as priests. You know, we cannot say my identity is always tied to these relationships. And in St. Paul, you see that. So basically, and we will go back to that, but we are a son, we are children. This is the first thing of our identity. And we never stop being children. It's not that we are children and then we become another thing. It's not that we are children and then we become autonomous. You are a son all your life. And St. Paul, Galatians 2:15, is when he says, Galatians 2, when he says, he speaks about his conversion. He says, when God revealed his son in me. He revealed his son in me. It means he revealed Jesus Christ, his son. But I think it means also he revealed that I am his son. So in Jesus Christ, I am his son. And this, I think, you can meditate a lot about that. We never stop being children. And you can only be a father if you learn to be a child. You can only give if you learn to receive. So I think here for a priest, this is like a crucial point. It reminds also of the importance of prayer, because I think in prayer is where we are really understand that we are children, that we need to receive. I think when a priest prays, it's like opening his hands and saying, God, give me what I need. And it's very difficult, I know. Prayer, like we have many things to do and many activities. You know? And I think it's a danger of this activism is that we do many things. We are fathers, but we forget about us being children. And I think it's only in prayer when you are there. Maybe you don't have many ideas. Maybe you are distracted, but you are there receiving. You know? And then you try to concentrate, of course, and do the methods of prayer. But in the end, in prayer, we say, here I am, Lord. I look at you, you look at me, and you are my father. That's prayer. You are my father. And understanding that you can, what do you have that you have not received? This is St. Paul again. What do you have? So remind, prayer is to remind yourself always that what do you have that you have not received? So you are a child, then in St. Paul, it's very clear that you are a spouse, also that you we are not spouses in the sense of in a natural way, but in Christ, right? And a spouse means there is someone you give your life to. There is someone you have a covenant with this person, and this is your life. That this bond is going to determine who you are, and you give yourself to this person, and this person gives herself to you. So this is a promise, a bond, and for us, well, it is also the church, the spouse of the priest. There is a relationship with Christ as well in our celibacy, that we give ourselves to Him. We, like St. Paul says, no, I give myself totally. No? And I think here in the idea of the spouse is that you cannot generate alone, that you need a community to generate. That you are not father. And for St. Paul, this was very clear, no? how much his letters are letters to the communities, and it is in the community, and how many friends he has in the apostolate, Timothy, Barnabas, all of those. For us also is very important as fathers to learn from St. Paul this web of relationships. First of all, the church. No, without the church, what we are giving is not ourselves. We are giving something we have received from the church, our mother church, our spouse as well. We are faithful to her, like a spouse to her spouse, right? So I think Paul can teach us 2 Corinthians 11, when he says to the community, I present you as a spouse to Christ. And also Ephesians 5, when he talks about the spouses, wives and husbands, you can read that of himself. And then 1 Corinthians 7, when he speaks about virginity, 1 Corinthians 7, a husband is concerned about his wife, but I am a virgin, and so I am concerned about the Lord. He's living this spousal dimension in relation with the Lord, with Christ, right? So, regarding prayer, to end in a kind of joke, but it's a story of Pius, Saint Pius the Tenth, Pope Pius the Tenth. I don't even know the story about prayer. A priest. I mean, he was with his priest. He was a bishop at the time, not a pope. You know, he was very, very pastoral. Very, it was like a pastor that became pope, right? He was dealing with a priest who had problems with money. He didn't have enough to sustain himself, and he was so, as an act of charity, he took the breviary of the priest and put him a donation, the bishop, and gave the breviary to the priest. And then a month later, Pius asked the priest, how is your difficulties, your economy going? The priest said, no, I cannot. Yeah, I am in the same situation, I don't have money. And then Pius said, oh, if you had prayed your office, you would have found the solution to your problems. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.